Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part one of Slain by the Spirit. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 verse 12 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Paul says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's the verse that was going through my head. That's the verse that I want to concentrate on. Now, there is a practice among the charismatics where people supposedly, under the influence of the Spirit, fall down as though they were dead. They call this being slain in the Spirit. And perhaps you've heard that terminology. Perhaps you've seen people having that kind of experience. Well, here Paul speaks of being slain by the Spirit, but it's a totally different picture than the one I just described. Paul is talking about the Spirit putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. So I thought I would entitle the message, Slain by the Spirit. So we don't necessarily believe in being slain in the Spirit, but we do believe in being slain by the Spirit. And it's an absolute necessity, according to Paul here. My friend Ryan Reese, Ryan's involved in a ministry where they're really reaching out to kids that are just, you know, kind of into just super hardcore stuff with sex and drugs and things like that. So, you know, it's a pretty intense ministry. And they're doing a tour, the Whosoevers. It consists of Ryan and a guy named Sonny Sandoval, who's the lead singer of the band POD. And this guy, Brian Head Welch, who's formerly the guitar player for Korn, and a guy named Ronnie Feist, who's part of this thing called the Metal Militia, which is a motocross, crazy wild motocross thing. Anyway, so these guys are going around the country and, you know, challenging young people and calling people to repent and all of that. But the name of the tour that they're on right now, they're advertising, is Murder Your Flesh. It's the Murder Your Flesh tour. Now, to me, that's just a little bit too radical. So my version of it is Slain by the Spirit, but it's the same idea as Murder Your Flesh. But this is such an important thing. I think we just need to come back to it again. And I'm not going to tell you anything you haven't heard me say already. And I'm actually going to repeat myself some of the things that I've said in the past few months. But again, I just had a sense from the Lord that we needed to emphasize and to further meditate on what Paul means here when he says, "But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So the deeds of the body. What is he talking about? Well, of course, he's talking about sinful behaviors. And in many places in the scriptures, we have those things spelled out for us. We have them spelled out in Romans chapter 1, this epistle that we're studying. We have them spelled out in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We have them spelled out in Galatians chapter 5, in Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. So many, many places we get a picture of what God refers to as the deeds of the body, the sinful deeds of the body. But let me just mention a few. It goes beyond this, but you'll get the picture if you don't have it already. Envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slander, pride, hatred, anger, sexual immorality, drunkenness, illicit drug use, witchcraft, idolatry, heresy, and those kinds of things. And as I said, the list can go on and on and on. These and similar things are the deeds of the body that we all have to some degree engaged in at some point in time. So this is what Paul's talking about. If you by the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, these are the kinds of things that he's referring to. And so he says that these things are to be put to death. In other words, these things are to be gotten out of our lives. These things are not to be a part of our lives as God's people. Now, mortifying sinful behavior, which is another way of saying putting to death the sinful deeds of the flesh, mortifying sinful behavior is the common objective of most religions. Most religions share this in common. Most religions have a similar ethical codes. That's why people say, well, all religions basically teach the same thing. On one level, that seems to be true, because there are lots and lots of similarities between the ethical codes of the various religions. Let me just give you one example. Buddhism. Buddhism can be, from the ethical standpoint on what the objective is in Buddhism, listen to what it says. To cease from sin, to get virtue, to purify the heart, do not kill, do not steal, do not indulge in forbidden sexual pleasure, do not lie, do not take any intoxicating drug or liquor. So, I mean, that sounds like something that you'd read in the New Testament to some degree, doesn't it? So you find that there is this commonality in most religions on the level of an ethical code. Now, all religions, with the exception of biblical Christianity, all religions attempt to mortify the flesh through some form of asceticism. So this is another thing all religions have in common. They all attempt to mortify the flesh, put to death the flesh, through some form of asceticism. Now, you're saying, some of you, what in the world is asceticism? Asceticism is a severe form of self-discipline marked by abstention from all indulgence. A severe form of self-discipline marked by abstention from all indulgence. Prayer, fasting, manual labor, self-flagellation are the means of overcoming sin and advancing spirituality. Every religion has, to a certain degree, an ascetic view in regard to dealing with the deeds of the body, the sinful deeds of the body. But as I said, this is not the case with biblical Christianity. And notice I'm emphasizing biblical Christianity, because even though the scriptures completely reject asceticism as the way of victory over the flesh, Christians have quite often gone down that road. And the most obvious example of that would be in what we know as the monastic movement, the monastery, the monks. This is the kind of thing that they practice in order to try to deal with the issues of the flesh. Now, how in the world did Christians ever get the idea that that was the way to do it when the scriptures are crystal clear that that's not the way to do it. Well, it wasn't long into the history of the church when people sort of drifted away from the biblical picture and started incorporating philosophies and ideas from other religious systems and so forth. And as you study a little bit of church history, you find out that some of the early monastic and ascetic ideas were actually borrowed from Buddhism that preceded Christianity, as some of you might know, by a few hundred years. So Paul shows the futility of the ascetic approach to victory over the flesh in his letter to the Colossians. Listen to what he said. In writing to the Colossians, in the second chapter, the 20th through the 23rd verse, Paul said, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men." Now listen, he said, "These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and the neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." Now listen to the way the NLT translates the same passage. I think it'll become crystal clear to you what Paul is saying. He says, "You have died with Christ and he has set you free from the evil powers of this world. So why do you keep on following rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't eat, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teaching about things that are gone as soon as we use them. These rules may seem wise because, listen, they require strong devotion, humility, and severe bodily discipline, but they have no effect when it comes to conquering a person's evil thoughts and desires." See, Paul refutes asceticism. He says it's worthless. This is not the biblical way to deal with sin. Now, not that anybody in here necessarily gave serious thought to going off to a monastery, but there's various forms of asceticism. And these ideas, they can trickle down. And although you wouldn't even know the word asceticism, you wouldn't even know what it meant when somebody said it, yet you could actually be involved in trying to deal with the flesh through the same kinds of ideas that are rooted there in asceticism. But what Paul says here is absolutely true. You can deprive yourself of all pleasant food. You can put on prickly wool undergarments. You can sleep on a bed of nails. You can lock yourself in a way in a cave from all things pleasing to the flesh. And at the end of the day, you are the same bundle of lust you were before. It's true. It's true. And all of those people that have gone off to the monasteries and to the nunneries and to whatever other place that they would go in an attempt to mortify the deeds of the body, they've all discovered this, that these things do not solve the problem. You see, this is not God's way. This is not God's way. This is man's way. God's way is to put to death the deeds of the body through the person and power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a totally different thing. So when you look at the various religions and going back to, say, for example, to Buddhism, you know, there is somewhat of a high ethical ideal that's put forth in pure Buddhism. But the problem is, how do you do it? Well, you can see that this is a superior way of life. You can see that, yes, I should behave in this way, but how to accomplish it escapes me. It's the same thing that Paul concluded attempting to be righteous under the law. The good that I would, I do not do. I can see the ideal, but I can't attain to it. See, this is not God's way. We don't beat the flesh out. We just let the Spirit in, and He deals with the flesh. That's the simplest way to put it. And these ascetic kinds of practices, the whole idea is you're beating the flesh out. You're pulverizing the flesh. You're trying to destroy the flesh. No matter how hard you beat on it, no matter what you do to try to destroy it, it always comes back in the end. I woke up one morning years and years ago, and I looked out in our backyard, and there was the biggest possum I had ever seen sitting right out there on an old tree stump, and that thing just looked as scary as anything could look. And, you know, my kids, of course, would go out in that backyard. We had a trampoline out there. They would go out and play, and it was just over off to the side, just far enough to where they could easily go out and not see it, and I thought, man, this thing could be really dangerous. So I felt obligated to protect my children. And so I decided I've got to get rid of this thing. I've got to kill this possum. So I got my pellet gun out and I snuck up on it. And I must have put 10 pellets in that thing's head. And it didn't even faze the possum. And I thought, oh man, this is trouble. So I heard my neighbor had a .22. So I called out to him and asked him. He said, no, I don't, but I'll come over and I'll help you with this beast. So we got into a battle with this possum that in my lifetime, I've never had a battle like that with any other creature. And this thing, I beat it and beat it and beat it, and it just would never die. I finally thought that I had destroyed it. And so I walked away to go dig a hole to bury it. And when I came back to get it, it was ready to go another round. It was unbelievable. And you know, that's how the flesh is. You can beat it and beat it. You can shoot it, but you can't destroy it. It just keeps coming back. And yet that's not God's way of doing it. You see, God does it a different way. We let the Spirit in and the Spirit deals with the flesh. And so, again, that's what we want to look at. How do we focus in on the Spirit so that the Spirit can do that work of driving the flesh out? You know, it's kind of like this. People these days, with all of our medical advancements and so forth, you know, lots of people these days are, you know, people around my age going to the doctor, and you know, maybe they're overweight and they've got, you know, all these little kinds of issues, and then they go in, they run a bunch of tests, and they find that you know, they've got high blood pressure and their blood sugar levels are all messed up, and they've got high cholesterol and, you know, all those kinds of things. It's common stuff happening today with people, right? And so what happens most of the time is the doctor says, well, you know, this is your problem here and that is an issue over there. And so we've got these, you know, 10 or 15 different medications we're going to put you on and we'll keep you going. You just, you know, take these medications. And people are literally on, you know, medications to treat something, but then to counteract the other medication that they've got to have to deal with something else. And it's just this big mess. I have a friend who had this identical kind of experience a while back. Overweight, heart kinds of issues, cholesterol issues, blood sugar issues, all the things I'm talking about. So he goes in and he goes through a series of tests. And that's exactly what they prescribed. They prescribed a dozen or so medications that he was going to have to be on. And he said he sat there and he thought, you know, there's absolutely no way I can take all of these medications. I just can't do it. So he looked at the doctor and he said, I don't want any of these medications. The problem is, he said, he diagnosed his own problem. He said, the problem is I'm fat, I'm out of shape, I eat horribly. And he said, I'm going to change all of that. And that's how I'll deal with it. And the doctor said this. The doctor said, well, you know what? That is the right way to deal with it, but I don't think you can do it. And he said, well, we'll see. And he has dealt with it. But this is my point. It's the same sort of thing. There's all of these symptoms of the flesh and all of these variety of prescriptions on, you know, how to deal with this and what do we do about that? And here, we'll get this book for this and go to this seminar for that. And they might have to send you off to this camp for that. And, you know, all of these different things, when the reality is this, there's one thing. We have got to focus on the Spirit. And as we focus on cultivating, as I've said many times before, developing the spiritual life that's in us, the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts, as we cultivate that and develop that, that will bring us to a place of spiritual health, which will then automatically result in all of these other things being cleared up. That's the way God does it. It's not, here are 15 things to do in order to get these issues taken care of. It's, no, here, there's one thing to do. You do this one thing, and all of these other things will be resolved. That's the way God works. And that's what we're talking about here. That's what we need to do. By building up my spiritual life, or as Paul put it to Timothy, by exercising ourselves to godliness, we will automatically deal with those other things, those sinful deeds of the body that seem to just keep hanging on. They will be dealt with, not because we succeeded in beating them out, because we can't. Nobody ever has. It just doesn't work, as I've said. But because we have yielded to the Spirit to the extent that the Spirit then drives them out. So we're replacing the flesh with the Spirit is what we're doing. Now, how do we exercise ourselves to godliness? How do we build ourselves up spiritually? And again, I am going to tell you things you already know. You already know these things. And you've heard them over and over again. You've heard me say them over and over again. You've heard Pastor Chuck say them over and over again. You've heard anybody you listen to teaching the scriptures. You've heard them say these things. But these are really the things. And as we focus on these things, all of the rest of it will ultimately be taken care of. That's God's way of doing it. So there are five things that I want to draw to your attention once again. And you're going to say, yeah, I know that. But, you know, it's okay. You need to know it again. You need to be reminded of it again. And I'm in good company because the Apostle Peter said the same thing in his second epistle. You remember? He said, I'm stirring up your pure minds by way of reminder. He said, as long as I'm in this tent, he says, I know I'm going to put it off soon. The Lord Jesus has shown me. Peter knew that his life, he didn't have much longer to live. But he said, as long as I'm here, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. Because these are the things. They're the basic things. They're the fundamental things that will make everything else work out the way God wants it to be. And so, what is at the top of the list? Can anybody guess? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. The Bible is God's word. It's not the words of men. It's the word of God. And the Bible has supernatural power. The Bible is not just any book. And when we read our Bibles, something is happening inside of us through the working of the Holy Spirit. That's why we say, read your Bible. We don't stand here and say, you know, read my book or read somebody else's book. It's fine to read those things, but that's not the main thing. Because there's only one inspired book on the planet, and that's the Scriptures, the Word of God.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Slain by the Spirit. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Slain by the Spirit. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0139. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.